Well, we probably have people here this morning that God's been dealing with you about a decision, about something you should do, that He desires for you to do, that you have not done yet. There may be some folks here this morning that you really haven't given much thought if there's another step you need to take. Maybe you're just kind of settled in and enjoying the ride in life, so to speak. But today the Lord's laid on my heart to talk to you about taking the next step. Taking the next step. And we are so encouraged in Scripture to continue to grow in our Christian life. Paul talks about walking in the Spirit. There should be movement and momentum in our life. The Bible talks to us about going from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. So it's so important that we be led by the Holy Spirit and that we're advancing. All of us need to improve. All of us need to grow. There's more for each and every one of us here this morning. So I'm here today to encourage you to take whatever it may be for you, but to take that next step in God's journey in your life. It's been, I don't know, probably 3 years or so ago that Pastor Doc and Miss June and Mickey and I were in his truck, and we were going to drive up to Lawrenceburg area. He and I were actually preaching in a revival meeting up there. And we went through Killen, hit 43 north, and was heading up 43. I don't know. We were 5 minutes or so up the road, and all of a sudden we saw blue lights. Pastor Doc was driving, by the way. And we saw blue lights, and so he did as we would. I hope you would. He pulled over. And the trooper came up, and he said, "Well, you know, you were going like 55 miles an hour." And, well, I thought that was the speed limit. "No, it's 45. "Well, sorry we didn't see the sign." And he indicated, said, "Well, you know, no ticket here." But he said this. He said, "No, you may not have seen the sign, but it's 45 miles per hour where there's curbs." And you know, we talked about it, and then he left. And Pastor Doc got back on the road, and we're all in utter confusion. 45 miles per hour in the curve. Well, where we pulled over wasn't in a curve. And we got to talking about it. "I've never heard about this law. When did they pass this legislation that 45 miles per hour in a curve? You know, I know they put signs, a curve up ahead, but I've never heard that before." Well, none of us in the vehicle had ever heard that before. And of course, that led to some speculating. Like, I'm thinking, and we're talking, it's like, well, you would think a bunch of grown men and women who are passing laws would know, people wouldn't know when a curve's coming up. You know, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. 45 miles an hour in the curve. And we were just going back and forth about that. That's just foolish. Who's ever heard of such a law? Did y'all know 45 miles per hour in the curve? I've never heard that. And I think, well, you know, maybe he was a pretend policeman or something. It's having fun with us. And we went, you know, we're still talking about this several miles down the road. And finally, it just didn't come from the men's section of the truck, but Mickey spoke up, and she said, "Oh, I know what it is. He didn't say curve. He said curb. Curb." And then we looked and realized that there were curbs, concrete curbs on both sides of the road. So it's 45 miles per hour where there's curbs, not curves. I didn't know that either, but finally, you know, it made sense. We had misunderstood His word. He said, curb, not curve. And because of that, we got all worked up. We were in confusion. We were trying to figure it out on our own, but, you know, the screen wasn't clearing for us. It was because we had not properly understood the Word. We were confused. You may be in a place like that this morning. You're a little confused. You're like, well, I'll do what I need, whatever I need to do, but I'm confused about what the Lord has for me right now. Well, listen up. Let's go to the Scripture. We always want to anchor what we're teaching in God's Word. And look at Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. This is such a powerful Scripture. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Good or righteous man, some translations have, are ordered by the Lord. That word order means established. The steps of a good man, a righteous man, are ordered. They are established by the Lord. And He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with His hand. A real quick break apart here. I've already given a little on that first part. But it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in His way. Now, Bible scholars, people who know the original language much, much, much better than I do or ever will, there's a debate about that second phrasing, and he delights in his ways. Is the Scripture saying that it is God that delights in the way of the good man because he's walking out the steps the Lord has ordered? Or is it saying that the man, the good man, who knows the Lord is directing his path, ordering his steps, he delights in His way, the way that the Lord puts before Him? Well, I think the answer is yes to both of those. I think that's what makes it work. When our heart and God's heart aligns, or I should say, when our heart aligns with God's heart, when our desires align with God's desires, the path that we choose is the one that God chooses for us because we've sought His direction. So this is a powerful Scripture for us to know that when we take our steps, if we'll realize who we are in Christ and we'll live righteously, that there is supernatural enablement working in our life to keep us on the right path. And not only will we be happier, delighted, excited about that, but the Lord will too, because He desires to be involved in our life. And beyond that, He desires that we desire and welcome His involvement in our life. I remind you again, you are God's idea. You're here because He created you. He does have a plan for your life. So when you and I begin to awaken to His purpose and His plan and start choosing what He has chosen for us, kaboomba! I mean, that's awesome. That's when the good stuff happens. And then verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. That word fall can speak of failure on our part, but it also speaks of adversity, calamity, when trouble arises, when there's a pothole in the road you didn't expect, or a curve that you didn't see coming. He shall not utterly be cast down. And that means you will not permanently fail. You won't stay down. You won't be down for the count. Why? For the Lord upholds him with His hand. The Lord upholds and the Lord holds him up by His hand. You and I are incompetent to live the life God created for us to live without His supernatural help, without His hand on our life. Red X. Now, I want to slip in another verse, Proverbs 14:14, because this is the first one is a picture of a man taking steps ordered by the Lord. Delight. And when he's living that life, when he meets with obstacles and adversity, the Lord will help him. Okay. Well, the backslider in heart, Proverbs 14:14, will be filled with his own ways. That's the problem. His own ways. But a good man will be satisfied from above. Again, here's the picture. Leave God out. Be filled with your own ways. And you'll backslide. I wish I could moonwalk better. I mean, you may think you're going forward, but you're going backwards. That's moonwalking. But it doesn't say the back leaper. Most of us who find ourselves in a backslidden state, it's a slow progression. This little compromise, failing to do this, not being too serious about our commitments, and the next thing we know, we've drifted. And we become people who are living our own life in our own way. We give a 2 thumbs up to Elvis and Sinatra. We did it our way. Okay? So, we don't want to be backsliders. We want to be this person. A good man whose steps are ordered by the Lord, who's delighting in his way, who's upheld by his hand, even if he stumbles and falls. Okay, let's ask the question, what keeps us from taking the next step? If you're in that place where you're stuck, or it's like a brick wall, and you know, I know that this is not really what the Lord has for me. I don't feel like I'm where I need to be in my journey. What helps you to know how to take the next step, and what keeps you from taking the next step? So the first question is, what keeps us from taking the next step? Well, too much fear. My wife, who's a counselor, and I ask her when I'm studying this message, like, I know, Mickey, you've seen hundreds and hundreds of people across the years that come in. And obviously, when people are seeking counseling, it's because they have some decisions they need to make, or they need some help in being able to break past where they are into something better. And the first thing she shared, well, it would be fear. Fear. Too much fear. The Bible says that fear, you know, if we allow fear to stranglehold us, then we can become tormented. Fear can cause torment. There's a healthy fear, a holy fear, but then there's a paralyzing, ungodly fear that keeps us from walking with God. So too much fear. Now, the follow-up for that, to me, is not enough faith, because fear and faith are antithetical to each other. They're opposers. They're working against one another. Fear, when fear is dominant in our life, then we're not living a life of faith. But when we're living that life of faith, we're overcoming our fears. So if that step, there's a step you know the Lord wants you to take and you're not taking it, what is it that you're afraid of? What is it you're afraid of? And realize that faith is going to be required. I'll talk more about that at the end of the message. But faith will always be required for every step that you need to take to be in God's plan for your life. Now, uncertainty is one of the big components behind fear. And our lack of faith is we don't know the future. The truth is, do you know what a gift it is from God that we don't know the future? I believe that is the nature of the prophetic. If God just made us where we all know what's coming, we'd probably be running. But the prophetic enables God to release words of exhortation and comfort and encouragement to prepare us often for what's coming, and sometimes to show us a little Polaroid snapshot or a JPEG for the rest of you of what's coming. Okay? That's the nature of the prophetic. It can encourage us. The Lord knows when some stuff's coming, it's going to be difficult for you to deal with. And sometimes He does this to that stuff and we never have to deal with it. But a lot of times He wants to do something in here through that stuff so that we come out the other side more like Jesus and stronger and with more faith. Can I have anyone say an amen and testify to the fact that you went through some troubles, some trials, some tribulations, some tough times, some adversity, and you didn't know how in the world you were going to make it, but God saw you through, and so on the other side of that, you came out with more faith. Right? That's Bible 101 right there. That's life 101. Those are the times God says, hey, just keep your eyes on me. I'm allowing this. I'm ordering this. I'm establishing this. My hand's right here. I'll hold you up. I'll see you through it. Another thing is a past hurt or failure. This is a biggie when it comes to not taking the next step. And I would even add in this context of the past hurt or failure, the past hurts and failures of other people. Some of us will not take that next step of faith because we know someone else who tried that. And it didn't go so well, right? You see, the key to that is God leading you to take that step? Sometimes it can be good things are potentially great things, and we want to take that step or die, but God hasn't given us a green light. And so we circumvent the timing of God. And sometimes we can't take that next step because we blew it back there, and we think God could never use us again. Or, well, if you knew my resume, you'd know God is going to hire somebody else for this. Oh, thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercies. Someone mentioned earlier by declaration, His mercies endure. He's so merciful. He's so full of compassion. He's long-suffering. He's so full of forgiveness. Don't allow what's behind you to steal what God has before you from you. A past hurt or a past failure. A few days ago, Pastor Doc and I were ministering to some folks, and there was a young lady there that had recently gotten out of rehab. And you know what that meant, the steps it had taken that led her to be in rehab, right? But now she's very gainfully employed, got a smile on her face, surrounded by employers that love God and want to see Jesus glorified. I am sure that young woman had some serious and fearful steps that required much courage to take in order, back here, a step to address the issue in her life. And then a series of steps across a period of time to change the way she thought and to be healed from previous hurts and so forth. And then to dare to take the step to enter the workplace. And many of you have done that in different ways. It may not be rehab, but you've overcome something by faith and realized God gave me something better. And you wouldn't have that had you not taken that next step. Don't let a past hurt, a grievance, or an offense, or something someone did to you, or some mistreatment, don't allow that to keep you from the wonderful things that God has planned for your life. I haven't met with everyone in this room, you know, to be able to pop the hood and know a whole lot about you. But a number of you I have, and I want to tell you, this room is filled with story of people who have overcome tremendous hurt, who have risen up out of some type of failure, who have been severely mistreated. But now the love, the joy, the peace, and all the fruit of the Spirit can be seen in their lives. And here we are together collectively worshiping our God. And we even spent some time just praising His goodness. Our lives are good because God is good. Don't allow that past thing to keep your head underwater. Let His hand lift you up and establish you. And you do that when you take that next step with God. He is the healer. He will help you. He will see you through. Another thing that can keep people from taking the next step is a wrong attachment. As is often the case, a step forward to step into what God has for us often means a step beyond what we have before that step is taken. In other words, sometimes in order to take hold of what God has for us, we have to let go of something that's been keeping us back. A lot of scriptures you could think of. Hebrews chapter 12 about not being entangled by the besetting sin. That habit, that hurt, that hang up, that sin, that propensity. Don't settle for, well, hey, my dad was this way and his dad was that way and I struggle with this. Don't stop there. Take the next step. You get free and let your kids get free. There can be wrong attachments. Maybe they're soul ties. Maybe that next step is to be a better husband, to love your wife the way Christ loves His church, or a better wife, to be able to really submit and be close to your husband the way that we are to be to the Lord. But there's a wrong attachment, maybe some soul tie of a previous relationship. What do you mean? How do you deal with that? Well, you renounce it. Like, you know what? I realize I'm still being influenced by something I did with someone else back there. And that becomes a porthole that the enemy can send those whispers and dark messages through. So that needs to be closed off. How you do it, you step in the light with God and say, hey, I acknowledge I'm struggling with this. I repent of that. I renounce it. And I break it now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I confess that I'm walking in the light. Therefore, the blood of Your Son, Jesus, has cleansed me from all sin. I declare myself to be free from this. And then you take the step and receive what God has for you. It's a matter, again, what that kind of stuff does, and there's different ways you could articulate that, but what it does, it cleans out the attic, cleans out the closet, and makes room for the more that God has. That all the distraction and the interference. We are spirit, soul, and body. And there needs to be a oneness in our life in that regard. And when one area is not right, it affects the other area. You know, if emotionally things aren't right with you and your spouse, then spiritually it hinders your prayer life. That's what the Bible teaches. Right? Emotionally, if I'm hanging on to bitterness, then spiritually it hinders my intimacy with God and the flow of His, the benefits of His forgiveness in my life. In addition to that, it subjects my body to become the subject to different kinds of disease. So, we need to get rid of that stuff. And then I'll conclude this section with what I'll call the familiar. We don't want to take that next step because I like where it is, where I am. I'm comfortable. We can become such creatures of habit and routine. It's comfortable when we know where everything is, everything in its place, and a place for everything, and you know that because we feel more in control. You know, other morning I should say, I'm up and I'm making my cup of pretend coffee. I drink decaf. And so I've got a certain type of instant that I use that I really like, and so I keep it on the top shelf, left of the sink, top cabinet on the top shelf. And I always get it out every morning. Just like first thing I do is I get my glass of water, I pour it up, I get out my apple cider vinegar, and I put 2 tablespoons in that, and I stand there and I drink it. Shotgun it. Maybe I shouldn't use that term. And then I reach up and I get my coffee. And so I did my water and I reach up and it's not there. But it's always there. And I know Mickey didn't move it because she can't reach it. And she doesn't like that kind of coffee. And I'm like, well, I just had that yesterday morning. And it's like, you know, has there been a coffee rapture or something? Where is it, you know? And I've learned to realize if I don't know where something is, and I can't get a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit, I asked Mickey. So I said, would you know what might have happened to my coffee? No. She said, did you look? No, it's not there. That's where it's supposed to be. And I'd already looked 2 or 3 times. I said, well, I'm going to look one more time. So I opened it up, and it's still not on that top shelf up here. But you know where it was? Right there. I mean, right there on the lower shelf. Just like right there, like right there. But I didn't see it right there. Why? Because it's supposed to be right there. So I had a hard time dealing with that shift and that change, even though actually it's easier to see right there. Are you that way? I know you men are. Isn't that right, ladies? But we're just so familiar with things, and we get our blinders on, and we don't like discomfort, and we don't like change, but God requires that if we're going to grow. He requires that change. He predestined. Ahead of time, He decided that His goal for us was to conform us into the image of His own dear Son, Romans 8:29. Romans 8:28, and He works everything together for good. What's the good? To that end, to make us like Christ. So, there could be other things, obviously, added to this list, but these are some things that can keep us from taking the next step. So, the next question becomes, how do we discern the next step? Now, I'm speaking collectively, how do we discern the next step, but I want to talk to you personally. There's some questions you individually need to ask yourself to be able to discern that next step. Because here's the way it works. We can be energized by our flesh, by the world, and by the demonic to take the wrong step. And when we take the wrong step, then ultimately there's destruction. But the Bible way to live as Christians is to be energized or empowered by the Holy Spirit to take the right step. And here's questions to ask ourselves. The first one is, are you trusting God or yourself? I remember a time or two when I bought a vehicle when I convinced myself it was God's will. Only to realize, I think the voice I was hearing was from somewhere else. My own understanding. Because we can do that, can't we? Kind of, we got that auctioneer in there, and we're going back and forth, but we want it. So we do what we do to get it. And that auctioneer is not the Holy Spirit. That's our flesh trying to manipulate, fabricate, intimidate, dominate, to get what it wants. And so, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Again, there's a yieldedness here, a submission to God. Trust Him completely and lean not on your own understanding. This does not mean that God will not use your common sense or that you're not to use common sense. It does not mean that you shouldn't seek to learn and grow in your knowledge and understanding. What it does mean is your understanding always needs to be in submission to God. Something may make sense to you, but you need to always run it by Him. You need to always check it out. So, are you trusting God or yourself? Are you trusting God or yourself? We reduce God in our thinking when we limit ourselves to our own understanding. Let me tell you how this works. Say you're making a business decision of some kind. And your own understanding, you're checking it out. You've done checks. You've looked at financials. You've asked questions. You've got references. You've looked at the demographics. You've gathered information about the projections and all that kind of stuff. Whatever kind of decision, business decisions, whatever. I'm just using a business decision as example. And maybe. Maybe you're thinking about buying a business or something or merging a business, and you're looking at that and you met with that person and you really like them. They look like they're, everything's good. So your own understanding is giving you two thumbs up, green light. I'm not seeing anything here. But check it by submitting and trusting the Lord. That means you make a place for God to speak. And so God knows what you don't know. God knows everything about you. He knows His plan for you, and if this fits in that plan, He knows everything about the future He has for you, and this should be part of it. But He also knows everything about this business or these business owners or this situation. And so by you simply submitting and trusting the Lord and getting, get it out of drive, go ahead and put it in neutral and say, Lord, do I need to park this? Or can we go ahead? It may be the Holy Spirit downloads a caution to you. And all of a sudden, like, wait a minute. I feel real good about this, but when I pray about it, it's just like, I don't sense God's breath on this. I don't sense God's peace on this. Are you with me? And that brings us to the next question or two. Have you checked out the Word? This is another way you make room in trusting the Lord. The way you do that is you make room for His Word to come to you. And you do that by quietening your soul, listening to the Holy Spirit, but also by opening your Bible or pulling up your Bible, depending on how you do that now, and reading God's Word and searching God's Word. What does God's Word say about making a wise business decision? Or what does God's Word say about this kind of decision or that kind of decision? Psalm 119:105, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This scripture gives us twofold information about how God's Word directs us. The first is a lamp unto my feet. In Bible days, they would even take these little oil lamps that were made in such a way they could put them on the end of their foot or on their ankle, and when they stuck their foot out, they could see where to place their foot. So this is about these decisions, the next step. This is real important. This is the next step kind of decision. Let God shine the light of His Word on the place where you're stepping. And what is He saying? What are you seeing? What is He showing you? What are you sensing about it from the Lord? Then a light to my path, that's more like holding out a torch. Okay? And that allows you to see a little further out, because sometimes you're making a decision and it's the next decision, but it's going to put you in a situation for a season and sometimes a number of years, sometimes for the rest of your life. And so that's the place you use God's Word. Maybe a better analogy in today's culture is like the way your headlights work. At night, when they're on dim, you're able to see so far in front of you, and that's to keep from blinding others, right? But then when you put them on bright, you can see out a lot further in front of you. And God's Word is like that, like a flashlight or headlights on high, that kind of thing. So have you checked out the Word? You know, there's all kind of resistance to you taking the next step God wants you to take. But the Word will help you to know it's the right step. The Word will help you there. And sometimes you may be thinking about taking a step and you don't need to take it. You think it's the Lord, but it's really not. The Word will help you here. And then the next question is, have you checked in with the Holy Spirit? Have you checked in with the Holy Spirit? Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Lord's confirming you into the image of Christ. Part of that is conforming your mind. But conforming you into the image of Christ. And He will confirm to you His truth by His Word, but He will show you and lead you by His Holy Spirit as well. And sons, remember, you're being conformed in the image of God's Son, they're led by the Holy Spirit. I say this way often, you know, not too much, but very often, is we need the Word and the Spirit. It's who the Father's looking for, those that worship in spirit and truth. We need the Word and the Spirit. They work together. Without the Spirit, you might wrongly interpret the Word. You might wrongly apply the Word. You may have the Word in you, but you got a lot of bad attitudes because you're not producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But if you have the Holy Spirit, then you're getting the power of God's Word released through you and the power of God's Spirit moving in you, and that works together. So, have you checked in with the Word? I mean, checked out the Word of God, and have you checked in with the Holy Spirit? And then, are you following God's peace? I have found this to be one of the first principles in learning to be governed by God in your daily life, is to learn to recognize God's peace. Not a false peace, but a true peace of God. And let me tell you when it's most easy to identify. When you're really wanting to do something and everything in you thinks it's good and right and that peace is not there. And that means a lot of times when we're checking those things out and then we have peace about it, it's all good. But that peace is kind of that last piece of the puzzle you need to make sure is right. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, if we wanted to dive deep into that and exegete that verse, there's so much there, but briefly look, we're told here there's peace of God ruling in our hearts, but it's also to which also you were called to one body. There could be a lot of implications in that. Number one, you need to make sure you're getting along with other believers that you fellowship with. You know, that there's unity. Because that can hinder God moving in our midst. Also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Do you have a grateful heart? Those things all work together so that peace can rule in our heart. But the peace is not going to hover over the place you're stepping if God doesn't want you to step there. God's not going to be breathing on that. His peace is not going to be present. So it's so important for us to learn how to discern the peace of God in our hearts. It's very, very important. How do we take the next step? We looked at what keeps us from taking the next step. We talked about how to discern what that next step may be, if it's right, if it's God, so that we can take it. But when the light's green, right, when everything's good, what do you have to do to take it? That's how you do it. Always. It's going to require your faith, which means, going back to where we've been, you're going to have to trust God. It requires faith. The just shall live by faith. Literally, the just shall live by his faith. And we've all been given a measure of faith. Jesus said, mountains could be moved with faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. If you don't know how big that is, ask Niecy and Don. They've got some mustard seed. They'll show you. I've got a couple of packs they've given me. Doesn't take a lot of faith. And you've got it, but it has to be planted. How do you plant it? Well, a lot of times your shovel's here. When you put your foot on the ground, you're planting that seed of faith. Just like Israel when they went into the promised land. Every place that the sole of your foot touches, I am giving you. Well, what's that mean? The place that they don't step, they don't get. In your life, there's going to be some things that God has for you. They're what's best for you. They're going to bless you. They're going to help you. They're going to strengthen you. They're going to encourage you. But they are not yours until by faith you take that next step. In some ways, this message today is very much a meat and potatoes message. Just real simple, practical Bible teaching about how to walk with God. Similar, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, it was the cloud, right? Simply, this is how hard it was for them. See that cloud? Wherever it is, you get under it and you stay there. See that cloud? When it moves, you move with that cloud. When that cloud stops, you stop. What do you do after that? You wait. How long do you wait? That cloud moves. Then you start, and you move with that cloud. And then when it stops, you stop. Start, stop, wait. Start, stop, wait. Start, stop, wait. This is your life. Eugene Peterson, back in the 1990s, wrote a book entitled A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. That was his title that summed up our journey with God, what God's after. A long obedience in the same direction. And a lot of it's just meat and potato type stuff, decision by decision, choice by choice, day by day, walking with God. You and I, if we live in tomorrow, then that can be worry and anxiety, which produces the fear that shuts us down and the uncertainty that keeps us from taking the step. Faith is now. You have to trust that what God's saying you to do right now that you can't see and you don't know how in the world it could be done and you don't know how He could bring that to pass. You see, if we get to bargaining with God, well, if you'll show me what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and exactly what it's going to be like, you fill in all the details, I'm in. No faith required for that. When the Lord shows you that peace, now will you take that step? Trust in me to believe it's going to fit together in the scheme of your life and you're going to like it before it's over with. I asked my wife also, as our worship team comes, I asked my wife, I said, okay, when you're counseling with people and, you know, the fear and the uncertainty and the anxiety and stuff, then what counsel do you give them of how to move forward? And her answer was, well, I encourage them not to be overwhelmed or to overthink it. To break it apart into pieces, the thing that they're wanting to accomplish. What's that next piece? And she gave me an example because I wanted an example. She said, well, that maybe they're thinking about going back to school or going to school for the first time, college, or working to get some kind of degree or something. She said, don't think about, oh, it's going to take you 4 years. And you're probably going to have to work there, you know, also during that time. It might even take you 5 or 6 years. You'll get overwhelmed. It'll be you'll get to thinking, and then next thing you know is, I can't do that. That's too much. No, don't look at it that way. Okay, if this is what God's wanting you to do, what's the next piece? All right, I'm going to register. I'm going to register. Then I'm going to pick my classes and so forth. How do you eat the elephant? One bite at a time, right? And that's such good counsel. Because God, a righteous man steps one. Can you take 3 steps at one time? Can anybody demonstrate that? You take 1 step at a time. Piece by piece, step by step. For some of you this morning, maybe you wound up in this room with these wild folks today, but you don't know Jesus. Like, what is this all about? But yet, my heart's telling me there's life here, there's joy here. Dear friend, you need to take the next step. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins, if you'll call on Him, He will save you. For others, I've done that. Maybe your next step is on Wednesday night, July the 19th, when we gather out in the commons area before our Wednesday night worship service. We're going to be baptizing people. Maybe that's when you can take that next step and be baptized in water. And you can publicly identify with Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection. Maybe when my wife mentioned today about becoming a part of our Grace House family. I mean, if the vision and mission of this house and the atmosphere and attitudes of this people are in agreement with the Holy Spirit saying, this is what I have for you, we invite you to take that next step today. You can come up during this invitation or simply take that connect card that's right in front of you. Fill it out. Put a check in the box that says, I want to be baptized. We'll get in touch with you. Or, I've given my life to Christ today. Check it so that we can follow up with you. You can make those decisions up here, but you can also fill out that card and we'll get in touch with you. For others, it may be to become involved with a small group or to become involved in serving, or it's time to up your giving, to take that step of faith and trust God. Maybe you're not a tither. For others, it could be some type of business decision, a relationship decision, a health decision. Like, I'm gonna get up and begin walking every morning. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to eat 2 bowls of ice cream instead of 3. That's a step in the right direction. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing my heart? You can take the next step. And God will meet you there. His Word proves that. He is faithful. He is so faithful. So I encourage you today, as we stand, to take the next step. Come share it with someone. Our prayer team members are coming now to the front. They will be here to pray with you. When the Holy Spirit's dealing with you and you're feeling that beckoning, there may not be an easier time than right now for you to make that decision. I encourage you to make it. I pray, Holy Spirit, You'd move across this audience right now. Lord, grant courage. Grant submission. Grant obedience. Help us to be submissive, obedient, courageous, Lord, in taking the next step You have in front of us. Let the light of Your Word, let the peace of Your Spirit come together in this moment. May it be a divine moment of decision. Have Your way, Lord, in each and every heart. Can you pray that prayer to the Lord? Can you tell Him, Lord, have Your way, and are you willing to take the next step? I invite you to come now, in Jesus' name. to step out from where you are. We're beginning to worship now. I encourage you to come. Your next step, when you step out into this aisle and come forward, you're taking that next step as you respond to what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do.